Zealand back to foreign affairs. That makes all kinds of sense. She has the relationships. We're still in obviously a perilous time globally. So I could see, for instance, Chrystia Freeland going back into her post, but it would be less common to leave ministers where they were sort of writ large. So I suspect we'll see a new health minister for the Liberals. Of course, if we have a Conservative government again, they will have to elect a number of new candidates. And so they will have a different slate to choose from. Although I think Marilyn Gladue did an excellent job of engaging the health community, and she'd have to be considered a front runner for the position. I think she has a lot of equity with the party, but also with the community, which is going to be important if there was a change in government.
Mm-hmm. It seems as well with the movement of the deputy minister from environment over to health that the Liberals may be also very interested in having a minister who has some background in looking at health impacts of climate change. And that's a nice segue, that comment, into another question that I have around what do you think the priorities of a Liberal government might be if they become the new government, and health priorities, and what do you think for the Conservatives those health priorities would be?
Right. So I think for the Liberals, it's a bit easier to predict. I think it would be reasonable to look back at the mandate letter of the last minister to see what had been unfulfilled. So for instance, marketing to kids is something that you know, they can't check the box on. So I think there is some learnings from the last mandate letter about what has not yet been completed. I think that's where I would start. And of course, the platform will, I think, indicate some new commitments. I think it's fair to say Indigenous health is still going to be at the top of their list, and rightly so. They made incredibly ambitious commitments that could never have been fulfilled in a four-year time. So I think that will continue to be a huge priority. And mental health, I continue to hear that at every turn. The importance of addressing, particularly youth and mental health, really seems to have captured Ottawa's attention, and certainly the Liberal Party. So I expect that also will be a top commitment of the Liberals. In terms of the Conservatives, I think Marilyn Gladue actually has informed a lot of the priorities that will be shared through their platform, and then were they to become government. So seniors' healthcare, of course, for the Conservatives is always a top concern, and particularly dementia, palliative care, end of life. I think those issues for the Conservatives would be top of mind for sure. Although interestingly, when we think about mental health, and I'm talking about how the Liberals are going to make commitments there, of course it was the Conservatives that set up the Mental Health Commission of Canada. So I expect through the campaign they may identify some of those select issues that they intend to focus on were they given the chance to govern. So I think some of that will emerge through the campaign, but a lot we can learn through the party's attention and lead up. And as I say, seniors' healthcare certainly was a top priority.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the Green Party and the fact that they've actually identified in their platform, they've actually said we should implement the Naylor panel reports recommendations, and have been very bold. And they've also said that, you know, they've called out the concerns around the granting councils and are saying that there needs to be an infusion of dollars there. How might we use that platform in our discussion with candidates from the other parties to really encourage them to be thinking along the same lines and committing to the same investments?
It's a huge opportunity. Years ago in the 05 election, I was leading a campaign for then the National Cancer Strategy, which then became the Canadian Partnership Against Cancer. And it was actually the election campaign where we secured the commitment. And the strategy was to have one party commit to it and then essentially shame the other parties into also committing it so that they were keeping pace on that, on, in this instance, cancer. And I think you could use the Green Party platform commitment in exactly the same way. And I wouldn't stop at just raising the commitment and challenging candidates to match the commitment. I'd be in touch with the central parties. And we can offline discuss the best way to do that. But I think the opening is now to say to the other parties, they've thrown down the gauntlet. Are you going to meet? Our community will be watching to see mm-hmm. what commitments you make in response. Mm-hmm. And so it's a wonderful opportunity that other groups would like to have, where their issue has, they've had the commitment they want from one party, and they can use that to really wedge the other two or three into making a similar commitment.
That's excellent. And what, that's very good advice. One of the things that we are often chatting with our members about, and calls we receive and discussions that I have with our members across the country, is they're looking at, okay, what's the most effective way to lobby in my riding and to advocate during the campaign. We put together a nice package to help our members to organize town halls.
Yes.
And I know during the last election, we had several members who did that, and they were very effective, because what town halls seem to do is they seem to, at the community level, really get the community engaged, talking about research and health and healthcare. And this was very, very important, because that could be used when that whoever was the member of parliament, whoever was elected to parliament, in future meetings to say, as you know, the community is very concerned about this. You remember during the town hall. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is town halls, because I think they're very effective, and I want to encourage our members who are with us today to organize them, and we're very happy to help you to do that, because I also think it brings back the focus on the policy issues. Uh-huh. So the media, as you said, is going to run away with these, very exciting kind of developments for media that really are not what we're focused on. What we're focused on are policy issues, and we'd like to have more of a debate about those issues that concern us. So it seems that these town halls are a way to bring it back. And, you know, I think the greatest ideas and newer developments are going to come from communities. We see that with innovation clusters mm-hmm. throughout. It's communities and locally and regionally. That's where, the greatest ideas come from in innovation. So as well, if we can, have these town halls and get a community in support of research, that's fantastic. We've got a lot of great institutions that are part of those communities. So, long, long way of saying, what do you think about town halls, and do you think it's a way to take back the narrative in terms of what we should be talking about during the election, which is policy issues?
Absolutely. Town halls are incredibly effective, and it's great to hear that you've provided your members a resource to organize them. That's a wonderful way to, frankly, have a long conversation about our issues. The other option to consider, and I'd encourage you, is that there are town halls often that are organized as sort of a general town hall. And you can learn about those just by phoning a candidate's office and asking them, is there a town hall that your candidate is attending? And you can attend those and go to the mic and ask a question on health research. So it doesn't necessarily need to even be you organizing one, although it's fantastic if you can. You'll have a much richer debate if you can. You can also attend those that are organized already, and simply when the questions are opened, go to the microphone with a question. Another great way to engage candidates. But you're right, Deborah, it's a great way to engage local candidates. You can imagine there are a lot of Liberal local candidates that would like today to be talking about policy. So they would be very open to that type of conversation. And I say that a bit tongue-in-cheek, but frankly, all the local candidates, they want to be debating what their constituents want to hear about. And so they're very eager to come to those events. It's an effective way for them to reach a number of people all at the same time. So certainly encourage that as a very effective way to engage local candidates.
Thank you.
So we have a question from Laura, and she is from Lawson Health Research. So she's asking, we've scheduled a public event where we invite the public and candidates to discuss health research. It's not a town hall. Our researchers present, but then we have open discussion, including questions from candidates. 4 years ago, it was extremely effective for us. However, our event is now booked the same day and time as the English language debate. Do you feel this will stop any candidates from coming? And what can we do to get some candidates out, even though the debate is happening at the same time?
Oh, unfortunately, that's just bad luck. It will make it more difficult to draw the public and candidates for sure. Many of them, of course, are going to want to watch their leaders themselves to understand, because what they will often do, of course, is repeat some of what they heard during the debate back to their local constituencies at doorsteps. So it is a challenge. I assume it's not an option to move the time, perhaps, of the event. I think you can only encourage the candidates to come, acknowledge that the debate is at the same time, but encourage them to attend and have one of their staff monitor the debates. It may be the sort of best compromise that you can suggest.
Now, are there other questions? We have about 6 or 7 minutes left with Michelle. This is your chance. Any burning questions you have about your particular sector, your candidates in your riding, anything that you would like to ask? We have Michelle for another couple of minutes, so we'd like to hear from you. So Michelle, one of the questions I always have, and I'm getting practical because, of course, as you know, Research Canada, right away, as soon as Parliament returns, we meet with the Minister of Health, we identify who our next Parliamentary Health Research Caucus chair will be, mm-hmm. we meet with the opposition as well, identify, it's a lot of work, but we get it all done, and then we ask the Minister of Health to host our welcome reception, and we welcome new members of Parliament back. What's your thinking, just on timing here, just a very practical question, if the Liberals do win, is it different if they win a minority versus a majority, when they'll return? When can we expect that? And if it's the Conservatives, I suspect they would take more time and probably wouldn't be returning to the new year. But what's your sense about that?
It's quite right. So if the Liberals were to form government, they will be able to come back more quickly because the machinery is in place.
Right.
And you can expect, for instance, a cabinet to be appointed within 2 weeks. We would likely have a speech from the throne in November. The House may sit for 2 weeks, a week in December for some procedural reasons. They're not likely to take meeting with constituents, but they'll be doing some House business. But you're quite right. If the Conservatives were elected, that all those timelines will shift because, of course, we're having a change in government, and that takes a little bit longer. To your point, if it's a minority, whichever party has the most seats has to negotiate with the smaller parties to see if they can gain the confidence of the House. Those negotiations will take some time. In fact, we know I do know that the NDP, for instance, are already working on the scenario, should a minority government be the result of the election, what will form the basis of their negotiating tactics and requests. So that negotiation will take some time. So again, we'll push back time frames. But I do expect that the parliament that we need to engage with, where we're meeting with new members of parliament, briefing them on our agenda, meeting with a new health minister, those things are likely to happen early in the new year rather than late in this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so so there would be a big difference in terms of the different parties. And what do you think the impact overall of the Greens will be? You know, we like to ask you some of your predictions, and they're looking stronger than ever. And given that climate change is truly a main concern for younger generations who will be voting. My daughters are 18, and I was saying earlier to you, they'll be voting this year. They care a lot about the environment. So the Greens, I think, have an opportunity in this election to pick up some seats and have official party status. So tell me about what your thoughts are on, and given that they're talking about research in their platform, we're very excited about that. So tell me what you think their impact will be.
I think twofold. They almost certainly will pick up more seats. I think you're right. The seat projections currently show them having four seats in the next House, but my colleagues and I think that could be as high as six. Now, that's going to be clustered in Vancouver Island. That's where they're likely to pick up their seats. So I don't think we're going to see, let's say they have six seats, we're not going to see those balanced across the country. That's not likely to happen. So the seat, they will gain seats, and they will be in British Columbia. But one of the bigger impacts they're going to have is on, of course, the splits that we'll see on the left. And they're going to change outcomes in certain ridings because their share of popular vote is going to come up. So they will, in some cases, may determine which candidate is winning, because almost certainly they are going to draw some support from the other left-leaning parties. So they'll have an outcome on the other party's seat total, not just their own. And then, of course, I think the other thing they do is Elizabeth May is a very effective debater. She will change, I think, some of the tone of the narrative of the election campaign. She's very deep on policy. She has a very good grasp, arguably the best of the leaders in terms of policy. So she does elevate the policy conversation through the election period, and we do sort of depend on her to do so. Certainly, we would want to encourage the Green Party to be talking about its commitment to science and research as part of the narrative that they're sharing with Canadians through the campaign.
Okay, thank you for that, and thank you very much for your presentation and for answering our questions, and your insights are always so valuable. And every time I ask you to come and talk with us, I learn so much, Michelle. So I know I'm speaking for everyone on this call today when I say thank you profusely for spending some time with us today and really helping us to better understand what's at stake and also how we can do better as advocates in this campaign. So we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I want to take this opportunity to thank our members, supporters, and partners as well for being on the line with us today. I know we have several board members on the line. Thank you very much, Anne and Tara and Rob and others for joining us, and Ryan. We hope to be holding more of these webinars. We will have another one after the election and invite Michelle back. And that's where we'll get down to brass tacks and we'll start strategizing. So we want you to take part in that one. That will be a very important webinar, and Christy will be out with dates for that webinar. And we do apologize for some of the technical details that were not in place today. We've had some issues with our internet here at our national office. So the next time that will not be the case, but thank you for your patience today. And once again, we'll be in touch. Check out our website, check out Michelle's blogs. Get out there and campaign. We rely on you tremendously during the campaign to build these relationships. And of course, when everyone's back in Ottawa, you pass the baton to us and we take it up, and away we go. So thanks again, and see you next time in a couple of weeks.